Deep within the Geek Cave, there lives a sarcastic woman who jumped the snark years ago. With her cynicism talisman forever upon her neck, she guides you through the cinematic wasteland. It's time for the More Than Monthly Movie Review from the GRD Cinemistress, Carol the Cat.
Happy New Year, everyone. This is the Cinemistress, and yes, I know New Year's was a few days ago, but I am here to tell you my top 10 films of 2021. So I can truthfully say that 2021 was a better year than 2020, but that is an incredibly low bar to hurdle. And let's face it, we're still in the midst of a pandemic, and I'm still taking a lot of precautions going to the movies and only seeing certain films in the cinema. As a result, there's a lot of movies that I wanted to see that I haven't. So before you say, "But Cinemistress, where is this film?" Please note, I have not seen a lot of movies that are really getting Oscar and awards buzz. Most notably, I haven't seen Spencer or Come On, Come On, or Belfast, which apparently is going to win all of the awards, or King Richard, because I find it weird to watch autobiographies of people who are still alive. I haven't watched Coda, or Passing, or Licorice Pizza. That kind of amazes me that I haven't seen a Paul Thomas Anderson film. I was unable to catch Titane, which was highly recommended to me. Also, Mass. Cyrano hasn't arrived in my city because I live in a cultural desert. I was not interested at all in the new West Side Story, and I just can't watch Don't Look Up because I know it would make me very, very angry. So just that you are aware, this is my list of the best films that I have currently seen. And these are also my opinions. Your opinions may vary. Just because I like it doesn't mean you have to, and just because you like it doesn't mean I have to. I also want to say that quite a few of the movies on this list I haven't reviewed, and I'm going to be better about that. I also plan on doing a once-a-month movie roundup of the films that I've watched that I haven't reviewed. I think I did that a couple months ago, and I think that'll work out well. So without further ado, here are your honorable mentions, and let me just be clear, any one of these five films could be number 10. I didn't want to do a six-way tie for number 10, so I just chose one, and these five are just as good as my number 10 film. So my honorable mentions are The Suicide Squad. Please, DC, take note. This is how you make good films. I'm actually astounded this movie got made considering how miserable the first Suicide Squad movie was, but James Gunn knows how to do an ensemble cast, and this movie was a whole lot of fun. Next up, Mitchells vs. the Machines. This is the best animated film of the year and one of the funniest movies I've seen in a very long time. I really should have done a full review of this one. I think it's currently on Netflix, so if you haven't watched it, please watch it. It's a really fun film with some beautiful animation and deals with our kind of obsession with technology. Next up, In the Earth, an environmental horror film that I think I was one of 20 people that saw. I did do a full review of that one, so you can check that out. Next up is Censor, another small horror film that I truly enjoyed. I like the small psychological horror films. I did a full review of this one. It's just a really creepy little film. And finally, The Empty Man. I don't know if this is technically a 2020 film. There are two films here that are kind of 2020 films, but 2020 was such a disastrous year for movies that I don't care. I saw this in 2021. It was released in 2021, so I'm counting it for 2021. I did a full review of this one. It's one of the most unusual horror films I've seen in a very long time, and I highly recommend it. So those are your runners-up. And like I said, any one of those movies are good enough to be in the number 10 slot. However, I gave the number 10 slot to The Power of the Dog. This is Jane Campion's first film in, I think, 12 years and stars Benedict Cumberbatch and Kirsten Dunst. It tells the story of two brothers, Phil and George Burbank, who are ranch owners. This takes place in 1925 in Montana. George is very meek and falls in love with a widow who has a young son. Phil does not approve of this marriage and is a very abrasive character. The film deals with a lot of underlying psychological and sexual issues. I really enjoyed this. It's a beautifully directed and beautiful looking film. It's got a terrific performance by Benedict Cumberbatch. This will probably win him an Oscar, although it is not my favorite performance of the year, and I'll get to that in a moment. This film is actually a little bit better the second time you watch it. I know that's kind of annoying. You should get the film the first time, but this one improves with rewatching, and this is currently on Netflix. Number 9. So I cheated a little bit, and I just decided to give the number 9 slot to Lin-Manuel Miranda. I'm doing a tie between Tick, Tick, Boom and In the Heights. Technically speaking, Tick, Tick, Boom is the better film. I'm kind of boosting In the Heights up and Tick, Tick, Boom just down slightly and putting them both in number 9. In the Heights I did a full review on, and that is based on Miranda's Broadway show. Tick, Tick, Boom is Miranda's directorial debut. This is a kind of biographical film of Jonathan Larson, who is the musical writer who wrote Rent. Andrew Garfield stars as Larson, and this film shows scenes from Larson's life and intercuts them with scenes from Larson's rock monologue, Tick, Tick, Boom. Now, I notoriously do not like Rent. I like the stage show far more than I like the film. I just detest the film. But I love Tick, Tick, Boom. And I like how Miranda took Tick, Tick, Boom and just kind of put Larson's life in it, so you see him struggling to create a musical that no one wants to produce while his girlfriend is going to move away and his friends around him are dying of AIDS and no one seems to give a shit. I do believe Jonathan Larson was kind of a musical genius, and it's just disastrous that he died so very young for no reason other than doctors misdiagnosing him. Andrew Garfield is amazing as Larson, and up until yesterday, it was my favorite performance of the year. I do think he'll be nominated during award season, but I think he's probably going to lose everything to Cumberbatch. But I also wanted to throw some love to In the Heights, because I love the soundtrack, and this is a really fun movie that everyone seemed to ignore. Where were all you Hamilton fans for In the Heights? It's a fun musical with some really great performances, and I really enjoyed it. So, number 8 is 9 Days, a strange little film about a group of people applying for a spot to be human, to be actually born on Earth. And the angelic, I guess, presence that is interviewing them and determining which of them would make the best human. It's a strange little film about what it is that makes a good human and how grief will sometimes lead to very wrong decisions. Number 7. Okay, I'm cheating a little bit here because apparently this isn't a movie, according to some people, but I don't care. This was a expression of art that I absolutely loved, Bo Burnham's Inside. I guess technically this would be a concert film. Bo Burnham filmed this during COVID, completely isolated. It has some of his best work. It has some of his best songs. It is funny. It is sad. It made me feel all of the feels, and I can't stop watching it. And that's why it's on my list. Number 6. Okay, if you had told me at the beginning of this year that a Nicolas Cage film would be on my top 10, I would have laughed at you. But here it is, Pig. This tells the story of a former chef who is withdrawn from society due to loss of a loved one, who trades truffles, which he finds with his pig, to a restaurant supplier in exchange for basic food and sundries. Unfortunately, one night his pig is kidnapped, and he must leave his little isolated cabin and find his pig. If you're looking for a porcine John Wick, you will be sorely disappointed. This is a very quiet, very subtle film with an amazing performance by Nicolas Cage. Hey, Nick, where you been? This is his best performance since Adaptation. It's got a terrific supporting cast with Alex Wolff and Adam Arkin. It's just a lovely film about grief. God, I have a lot of films dealing with grief on this list, and how we handle grief, and how you shouldn't give up on things you really want to do. This is a really great film, and a terrific performance by Nicolas Cage. Number 5, Saint Maud. I did a full review of this one. This is a small horror film. Is this a horror film? Well, it ends horrifically, so I'm going to call it a horror film about a young woman who takes God entirely too seriously and attempts to convert a hospice patient that she is caring for. This deals not only with mental health issues, but how you can be blinded by your beliefs. It's got some stunning performances. It's a beautiful film. I really loved this film. Number 4, Spider-Man, Far From Home. Yeah, I did a full review of this one. This is so fun. This was the best time I had in a theater all year. But it's not just a fun superhero film with some amazing performances. It actually made me cry. Damn you, Andrew Garfield. I guess that's a spoiler, but come on, everyone knows it by now. How he puts so much feeling in one simple line, "Are you okay?" It just makes me shiver thinking about it. This is the best Spider-Man movie I've ever seen. Yes, it edged out into the Spider-Verse barely. This is just a great film. I love it. So now we're on to my top three, and I have to say, with each of these movies, it truly did feel like the filmmaker sat down and thought, let's make a movie just for Carol. Let's put things she loves in it and make it just for her. Number three, a movie I saw yesterday, The Tragedy of Macbeth. This is Joel Coen's take on the Shakespeare play. This is not a Coen Brothers film, it's just a Joel Coen film, so naturally you get Frances McDormand as Lady Macbeth and Denzel Washington as Macbeth. And he gives my favorite performance of the year. He is amazing. Macbeth is my favorite Shakespeare play, so, and I love that he did this in black and white. The cinematography is amazing. The sparse sets work so well. It's so minimalist, yet at the same time so beautiful. This is full on Shakespeare, so if you have trouble with Shakespeare plays, this one's probably going to be a miss for you. But I loved it. Oh, and the woman he got to play the witches, she's a contortionist, and her introduction is so creepy, I got chills. I am so glad I saw this on the big screen. It comes to Apple TV next week on January 15th, I believe, and I look so forward to seeing it again. But I'm very happy I saw this on the big screen. It's a beautiful film with an amazing performance by Denzel Washington. Number two, Dune, part one. Like I said in my review, this is what I saw in my head when I read the book. Denis Villeneuve has done some of my favorite sci-fi films of the last few years. I absolutely adored Blade Runner 2049. That was my favorite film of that year. And I actually loved The Arrival. He is an amazing director, and this is so good. The effects are great. The performances are great. He captured Frank Herbert in a way that I didn't think was possible. But it is not my favorite film of the year. That goes to The Green Knight. I said in my review that I completely understand if this is not your thing, but boy, is it my thing. It's got Arthurian legend. It's got magic. It's got a great performance by Dev Patel. I've already watched this film three times and I can't wait to own it so I can watch it many, many more times. I absolutely loved this film. So there it is. Those are my top 10 films of 2021. This list may change when I start to see some of the movies that I've missed over the past year, and when award season comes up, I do tend to try and watch all of the films that are nominated for Best Picture at the Oscars, so I may be adding some addendums here and there, but I think this is a damn good list, and thankfully it was a pretty decent year for film. This is the Cinemistress signing off, and I'll see you in 2022. Oh, and if you're wondering what the worst film I saw last year was, Paranormal Activity Next of Kin. Hands down. Just horrible. Could we please put that series to rest?
GRD is licensed under the Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivative Works 3.0 United States License. Come check us out on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and hit up our website at geekradiodaily.com. Find more of Carol the Cat at guardiansofthegeekery.com and purplehairedpixie.com.